Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Not so long ago, I did a story about Corvette rims and a class action filed against General Motors. And Mike sent me a story from the Detroit Free Press that I had not seen yet. He actually got up earlier than I did on the day that the story ran, which was this morning, and pointed it out to me. And I said, oh, that's cool. I'll take a look at it. But he actually pointed out something that is interesting. And this is a question I get asked all the time. He said, Steve, notice that the guy in the story here opted out of the class action and got more money for himself by doing that. People ask me all the time. They say, Steve, there's a class action that's been filed for whatever reason. I'm a member of the class. It says I can opt out if I want to. Should I? And I always tell them, I say, well, if you can find an attorney to take your case and it's a good case, maybe you can get more money by doing it. But it's a longer road and it's, you know, it's uncertain. The class action is always the bird in the hand thing, you know. So here's a situation involving Ford Motor Company and a guy who opted out of class action and got a really good result. So Phoebe Wall Howard wrote the story. And again, I love this woman. The stories that she writes are these deep dives where she goes in and investigates something. And almost certainly every story she writes contains some good stuff she got. You go, wow, how'd she get her hands on that? So here's the headline. Appeals court says Ford committed fraud by selling defective Super Duty trucks. The owner of a 2006 Ford F-350 argued for years that Ford had sold Super Duty trucks with defective 6-liter engines, diesel engines, to thousands of unsuspecting buyers and then concealed the problems, saddling customers with repair bills and exposing them to engine failure. Now, an appeals court in California has agreed with Charles Margerson of Torrance. Now, he is the first Super Duty truck owner with a 6.0-liter diesel engine to have his fraud claim against Ford affirmed on appeal. The California Court of Appeals late last month upheld a lower court's ruling in Margerson's favor. 5 other jury awards against Ford in similar cases are pending appeals. Like I mentioned, there's also a class action out there. So Margerson said, I bought my truck new. It must have broken down a couple dozen times. The turbo blew up. I started carrying spare hoses with me and leather gloves because everything was super hot and I had to repair it myself on the side of the road. We would lose power. I mentioned it to Ford a couple times saying, hey, this is a lemon, and they just laughed it off. I just wanted a truck that worked. So he opted out of the class action case that involves unhappy Super Duty owners who eventually settled in 2013. So 7 years ago, this class action was settled, resolved, and a bunch of people got something. We'll talk about that in a second. But he opted out and went on his own. He filed a lawsuit in June of 2014 and was awarded a total of $940,000 by a jury. Now, the appeals court determined that the expert testimony about punitive damages was improper and tossed out the punitive damages part of the award. But a new jury, in a trial not yet scheduled, will determine how much Ford must pay him in punitive damages. So, this is interesting. A lot of states don't allow punitive damages in simple car cases. But because this is couched as a fraud case, and he's saying that there were bad intentions on the part of Ford, they should be punished for what they did. So in California, this is allowable, and a jury gave him $726,000 in punies, as we call them. Now, the Court of Appeals said, well, that number's too high, but sent it back down with instructions on how to do the math correctly. Top legal expert in the U.S. told the Free Press that Margerson's victory is a powerful example of how a class action case can be used to prevent potentially billions of dollars in costs when things go wrong for consumers. The company dodged a bullet, said Brian Fitzpatrick, who's a law professor at Vanderbilt University. In Margerson's case, the Court of Appeals in California upheld the Los Angeles County Superior Court jury verdict that found that Ford acted with malice, oppression, or fraud by deliberately concealing known defects in its Power Stroke diesel engine. The engine was made by Navistar and used primarily in Super Duty trucks from model years 2003 through 2007. And I can tell you, that's a few years ago. I had a whole bunch of those cases in my office. So I handled these cases, but you know, they stopped making these in 2007, so that's a while back. Margerson is a technician who maintains the electrical grid for Southern California Edison. Used internal Ford documents to prove in court that Dearborn automaker knew its diesel engines were bad and put them in the heavy-duty pickup trucks anyway for years. Owners reported problems including loss of engine power, blown head gaskets, warped or disfigured head bolts, and failure of the oil cooler. frequent breakdowns, and decreased resale value dominated pickup discussion groups. And that's one of those things. You know, you get one of these defective vehicles, and you go, well, I keep bringing it back, and it keeps breaking down. They keep trying to fix it. Can I just get rid of it? Well, yeah, if you get rid of it, you got to tell the person you're selling it to what's wrong with it if they ask. And you probably should tell them if they don't ask, because you can get sued for misrepresentation if you don't in most states. So it's ugly. The jury award to Margeson included maximum amount allowed for Ford's violation of California's Lemon Law, which was $214,000 plus legal fees. That amount is not in dispute. So the man's going to get his $214,000. It's the punies that we're talking about. Margeson said, every time I would tow, the thing would break down. He's talking about towing things behind his truck. Brian Altman of Los Angeles, who is Margeson's lawyer, said the new jury will determine how much Ford should be punished monetarily. There's no built-in ceiling on this, he said. The jury will be tasked with considering how heinous and repetitive their fraudulent conduct was. They put this 6.0 engine in over 1 million vehicles, with estimates and sales ranging as high as $60 billion. Meanwhile, Ford's spokesperson declined to comment, told the Free Press in a statement, we're happy that the appellate court struck down the punitive damage award. Ford looks forward to the opportunity for a retrial. Well, they're getting a retrial on that portion of the award, not on the entire case. Of the nearly $215,000 jury award, $72,000 was in compensatory damages and essentially repay Margeson for his truck, which was among the priciest on the market at the time. The rest is a civil penalty. For years, he and other owners of the heavy-duty pickup trucks reported the engines to break down and emit black smoke. Margeson decided to sue, he said, after the truck stranded him on the side of a highway with his wife and baby as semis roared past. He broke down in tears on the stand while testifying about this story. It was really scary. I understand they're a business and they care about their shareholders, but at some point they need to be worried about their customers. Ford, at one point in time, had offered him a couple $100 to compensate him for his thousands of dollars in repairs. Ford initially denied a problem even existed at all, then claimed there was insufficient evidence to prove the claim, and finally maintained the company wasn't aware of the extent of the diesel engine problem. Internal emails, this is why I love this woman who writes these stories, Phoebe Wall Howard, always gets her hands on this kind of stuff. One email presented during the trial was dated 5 months before Margeson purchased his truck. The man who is in charge of Ford's North American diesel division wrote on February 5th, 2006, that warranty repairs on the 6.0-liter engine were running as high as $5 million a month and added Ford would not invest in an engine upgrade. 2 hours later, according to court records, that man warned people not to forward his email to anyone. The Ford warranty manager emailed his colleagues warnings that the diesel engine could lead to a class action lawsuit if its cylinder pressure specs went public. He wrote in an email to colleagues dated July 13, 2006, quote, I recommend we delete all these emails, unquote. So let's just look at the two emails for a split second here. One email, dated 5 months before the plaintiff here bought his truck, was from the director of Ford's North American diesel division and pointed out that the warranty repairs on the 6.0-liter engine were running as high as $5 million a month. Now, you would say, Steve, is that high? Is that low? I'll admit, I don't know how much they spend per month on any other engines in their entire line of cars. I don't know. But the fact that he's pointing this out seems like it might be an important concept. But a better one is the one where the Ford warranty manager emails his colleagues warning that the diesel engine could lead to a class action lawsuit if its cylinder pressure specifications went public. He wrote in the email to colleagues dated July 13, 2006, quote, I recommend we delete all these emails, unquote. Now, by the way, the story is several pages long. I just skimmed it there for you for the highlights. And if you had one of these vehicles, or if you're fascinated by this stuff like I am, read the entire story. It's in the Freep, freep.com, or the Free Press, Detroit Free Press, the paper I delivered as a child. And they do great work on the auto industry. But I can tell you that the big companies have so many people working for them that stuff like this gets out. Those emails get out. It's impossible. If somebody writes an email and sends it to 10 people and says, by the way, don't show this to anybody, I assure you someone's going to show it to somebody. And once it's out there, you lose control of it. And so what's even scarier is someone sending an email saying, I suggest we delete these emails. That looks even worse. And so I've talked before and briefly used the concept in discussions of spoliation. And people often say spoilation, and they're mispronouncing the word. It's like foliage, not foliage. Spoliation is S-P-O-L-I-A-T-I-O-N, spoliation. And spoliation is a concept in the law where if I'm involved in something and something happens and there's a piece of what could be evidence down the road, and I'm looking at it and going, I could save that, but it would hurt my case. So I'm going to take it, hide it, throw it away, destroy it, or whatever. And I do that thinking that if I get in trouble down the road, I'm better off with that thing not existing or not being found or whatever. I gave the example of the ignition cylinder switch in the car that burned a couple of videos back. But there are many, many examples of this where somebody sees something go wrong and they go, oh, that's what caused it. And they grab it and toss it, hoping to hide the evidence of what went wrong. If that comes out in court later, and you can prove that somebody destroyed something, hid something, altered something, or otherwise tampered with evidence, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, then you can get the judge to instruct the jury that that thing that they destroyed and is not in front of you right now, you can pretend it's in front of you and it hurts their case. That's why they destroyed it. And you can get that jury instruction on spoliation. So one of the things that counsel will tell people when they're advising a large organization is that you don't want to be destroying evidence for fear it'll come back to bite you later. Because not only will the spoliation instruction get given to a jury if necessary, but it will call attention to it. And if you are an attorney in a case like this, and you go to the judge and say, I want a ruling on, let's assume for a moment that some of these emails got deleted. I want a ruling that the deleted emails would have hurt them. The judge will go, not a problem, I'll give you that one all day long. That's a no-brainer. You get that one. And then the email says, I suggest we delete these emails. What's the exact phrasing? I recommend we delete all these emails. I recommend we delete all these emails. You get that blown up about this big on a poster and you put it on an easel and that's up there during your closing argument. It goes to show the mindset you're operating against. And the people at a company appear to have spotted a problem and the problem's going to cost them money and they're on the hook for warranty repairs. Now, I'll get to what I know what you're thinking. I'll get to that in a second. They're on the hook for warranty repairs. And rather than saying, hey, let's go out and take care of the warranty repairs, they start discussing the problem and ways that they can avoid liability, including, I recommend we delete all these emails. Now, you're saying to yourself, Steve, what could they have done here? What could they have done other than just take the beating? Well, there is something you can do. I mentioned earlier in the story, it says, these engines weren't built by Ford. They're built by Navistar. And Navistar, I believe, used to be International Harvester years ago, tractor company, and they moved into more big truck type engines and so on. And they were supplying engines to Ford for some time. And you can back up for an example of how to handle a situation like this by looking at the Bridgestone-Firestone tire problems that some explorers had where the treads would delaminate, and if they delaminated at the wrong time, it would cause an accident. And Ford recalled all those tires and basically said, everyone gets a new set of tires. And I got a new set of tires. And they made the tire company pay for it. They just said, hey, you know, we don't make the tires. You take care of this. So Ford could have, and for all I know, they may have, turned around to Navistar and said, look, you guys, this is all on you. You're taking care of this. And make them pay. Because they're the ones who furnished the defective engines. But I'm just telling you right now that when the attorneys at Ford's OGC, which is the Office of General Counsel, they've actually got a large legal department there. I know people who work there. when somebody was going through the files preparing for trial, and they find this email that says, I recommend we delete all these emails. That's a bad day for that attorney who found that. He's looking at it going, how do we defend this? It's hard. You're making the job harder, people. So it's a crazy story. But I recommend we delete all these emails. And like I said, it's a great, great story written by Phoebe Wall Howard for the Detroit Free Press. And Mike sent it to me. And yeah, it's an interesting situation because the guy opted out of the class action and wound up getting a gigantic verdict instead of whatever the people in the class got. So that probably wasn't that much. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. It takes sunshine and rain to make a rainbow. There would be no rainbows without sunshine and rain.